Hey everybody and welcome back. UFC 290 is upon us and I figured it's been long enough since I made a video, so I might as well go ahead and do a quick breakdown of the fights. We'll try to keep it short and sweet today because I know it's like obviously the day of and probably not many people are going to catch this before the fights, but fuck it, I figured let's do it. Before we hop in, I'm just going to break down the main card today, guys. Kind of sucks that like Della Maddalena got pulled from the card. You know, you still got Robbie Lawler fighting Nico Price, but I was really excited in particular for that Sean Brady versus Maddalena fight. Then they found him a replacement, and then I guess his replacement pulled out because they ended up finding some rare, like, I think like a brain disease that they found in his medical scan, and they ended up having to cancel the fight. So, man, like the guy said, if like probably a blessing in disguise that that fight actually got canceled for the fellow that they found the brain scan shit with, right? Again, I just read about that this morning. Not sure exactly what's going on with it, but pretty fucking crazy. But anyway, like I said, obviously Robbie Lawler's headlining the prelims. One more thing before we hop into just breaking this main card down. Big fight announcement. John Jones versus Stipe Miocic, UFC 295 in November, right? Huge fight. It's going to go down at Madison Square Garden. And man, don't get me wrong, I'm excited for this one. But doesn't it feel like, I just feel like Stipe's past the prime now. Like he's past that point. And you, don't get me wrong, you can stay competitive at heavyweight for many more years than you can the lighter weight classes. I think that it's a little bit more forgiving in terms of how sharp and crisp your technique has to be, right? Obviously the power is a real problem. If you fuck up there, you could get knocked out. I'm not saying that. But just in terms of like, it's going to be really hard to be a 40-year-old fucking flyweight in the UFC, right? But again, I don't even know. How old is Stipe? 39? No, he's got to be older than 39, right? He's 40. Yeah, he's 40. So, literally just turned 40. And like I said, you can get away with that shit in the heavyweight division for longer. But man, it's John fucking Jones. And he's never looked better in his last fight. And the heavyweight, it just, the thing that's irritating about Ngannou leaving, I think, in particular, is that like John's never fought that power puncher. Stipe has knockout power, but he doesn't have that like Ngannou type power. And man, I felt this way in the light heavyweight division. Like obviously Gustafson probably gave Jones the best run for his money. He met him in terms of the length. He boxed him up a little bit, right? Like, but in terms of just the danger factor, I always thought the most dangerous fight for John Jones at 205 pounds was Anthony Johnson. And he never had to fight it. And don't get me wrong, I don't like relying on power punching. But man, you can hit John. You can hit him. And if you can land on him, man, could Johnson have done it? Could Ngannou have done it? I don't know. It's like he's avoided these two big power punchers in both of his divisions. And to me, those are kind of the only what-ifs left. You know how good John's skill is, right? I just wanted to see him fight Ngannou and see if he could deal with that serious, like, one-punch knockout power threat and how he would handle that. But anyway, we're going to get Jones versus Miocic. Like I said, I'm excited for it. I just think that it's going to be a fucking beatdown, if I'm being honest. I just think John looked amazing and Stipe's getting past his prime. And it's not the time in your career that you want to be fighting John Jones. But we'll see. Who knows? Maybe he does. I think he'll present more of a stiff challenge than Ciryl Gane did. Ciryl Gane has no wrestling defense. He didn't look like he knew what to do in any of those situations, you know? So in terms of that, yeah, I think that, you know, Stipe presents a more stiff challenge, but overall, I just think John has too many fucking tools in the toolbox. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to this main card. A whole bunch of other shit going on, right? We'll try to, like I said, I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet and get through the main card. First fight on the main card is going to be Bo Nickel versus Val Woodburn. And I'm pretty sure Bo Nickel is the biggest betting favorite in UFC history going into this fight. Originally, he was supposed to fight Trayshawn Gore. And you guys all know the story with Bo Nickel. I mean, one of the most prestigious wrestlers in Penn State history. He medaled at the national championships all 4 years. Won gold 3 of them. Same thing when he was in the fucking Big Ten championships. You know, obviously not that, but like still a huge deal. Big Ten's a huge wrestling division. I mean, one of the more talented prospects in wrestling that we've ever seen enter the UFC, and maybe the most talented wrestling prospect that's entered the UFC. And he's going up against a guy in Val Woodburn who took this fight on short notice. And, you know, I was watching an interview last night with him and Michael Bisping, and Bisping was getting him ready for what everything was going to feel like and getting him ready for that. I don't know. I can kind of see how, like, when Bisping was doing that, you'd be like, oh man, don't hit him with all this. But no, it's a, what Bisping did Val Woodburn a favor in that interview. He was like, you're going to walk out, there's going to be fans, most of them are going to be cheering for Bo Nickel, there's going to be 20,000, you're going to see people moving, people coming, like, it's the main card. And Bisping was giving him a dose of reality. And like, you know, he said in the thing in the interview that he's like, well, I've been in the crowd before of that. And I'm like, yeah, but this is different, man. This is different. The attention is on you. This is a UFC main event pay-per-view. And I just think, now, I want to caveat all this because, like, Val Woodburn is a guy who I've gone back and I've tried to find his fights on YouTube. I've watched him, and he is a guy who does not end up on his back very often in these wrestling trends. And so he's got 7 fights. He's got 3 more fights than Bo Nickel. And Bo Nickel has run through everybody. Sometimes what I think Val, like people like Val Woodburn need to do in these situations is just give them some adversity. That'll start giving you some openings. Hold off one thing, and then you can start making it complicated for him. You know what Bo's game plan is going to be. He's going to want to wrestle you, right? And you know that Val Woodburn, based on A, his build, and B, just what you've seen on YouTube, he has power. He has potential to get this fight out of there. But in terms of his technique and his prowess, like his technical prowess, I just don't think it's there yet, man. Like I said, I've watched stuff. I think he overextends on things. I think he is going to leave his legs open. But something to keep an eye out for. I've been watching his fucking like highlights where I could find them. And just, again, he doesn't end up on the ground very often. But he has good jiu-jitsu, man. And he trains at a gym with Phil Rowe, Rodolfo Vieira, and the like. His jiu-jitsu is going to be on point. So, you know, you saw Bo Nickel, I thought, struggle. Not, I don't even want to say struggle because that's not the right word, right? But like, it can be hard to find those submission threats and get those takedowns. Like you saw that a little bit against Pickett, right? There's still controversy over whether the headbutt led to the takedown. Those can be hard to come by. And if Val Woodburn has a little, this is what I mean. If he can just make it hard for Bo Nickel to finish him in a situation where Bo thought he might be able to, he might be able to start reversing things, using some jujitsu to his advantage. Now, am I placing money on Val Woodburn? Actually, fucking maybe. Maybe a tiny bit because he's such a massive underdog. But do I think he wins this fight? No. I think Bo Nickel has too many things going on everywhere. I think as long as he paces himself, doesn't burn himself out, and you know goes about this technically and methodically, he's going to be able to find openings to get to the takedown. And it's going to be very hard for Woodburn to keep that kind of pressure off him. But it's the unknown factor, right? Like, we don't know what's going to happen here. Maybe Woodburn boxes him up a little bit, but I think Woodburn's a little bit slow in some regards. Definitely has power in his hands, but I think he'll be slow in terms of reacting to the level changes. You know, I think that it'll be too late before he starts to sprawl and get his hips underneath him and all that stuff. And I think Nickel takes advantage and gets it done. But like I said, I've seen Woodburn pull off some good jiu-jitsu and he's got good training partners. So don't be surprised if there's situations where Nickel expects to finish him and Woodburn stays alive and maybe makes this a little bit more complicated for Bo than he thought it would be. Next is a lightweight fight between Dan Hooker and Jalen Turner. And did Jalen Turner miss weight? I feel like, well, I saw a thing, again, guys, I was waking up, like, reading shit this morning, like, in half a blur. I thought I saw that he missed weight. Weigh-in results. Why can't I find it? Yeah, he weighed in 158 pounds, so he missed by, like, 2.5 pounds. And, you know, he's a big dude for 155 pounds. He's like, what, 6'3 or however fucking tall he is, long guy. And he's fighting Dan Hooker, a veteran in the sport. And I guarantee you that Dan Hooker is going to take personal offense to him missing weight. He's not going to like that shit. So, yeah, this fight is interesting because both guys are a little bit longer for the weight class. Turner's taller, but Hooker has them long limbs. But, man, I'm a little worried for Hooker in this fight. I really think Turner has quite literally turned a fucking corner in his career, and it just looks like he's on that next level. And his fight with Gamrot, if he fixes some little things, if he defends the takedowns a little bit earlier, right? Again, he was a little delayed when Gamrot was getting to the hips. I think he wins that fight. And again, his record is kind of deceiving. He's 12-6 right now, maybe 13-6. And, you know, that's not the most impressive record if you're looking at a polished MMA prospect coming up, right? But Jalen Turner is fucking legit. Like, his record is misleading, I think, and he is incredibly sharp. And I just feel that he has a stylistic advantage in this fight because Hooker is very good at holding the range. But I feel like in his stance, right, his arms are kind of more out here, like when he throws. Like, I think Turner's going to be in nice and tight. And I weirdly going to, I feel like when they get into these striking exchanges, he's going to fit nicely inside that guard of Dan Hooker. And I feel like he's just going to be able to sit in the pocket and bring everything straight down the pipe, and it's going to dot Hooker up. And I think Turner's competent enough on the ground that Hooker's not going to be able to mix in his wrestling and get that kind of stuff going. I don't think he has the timing and stuff on his shots that someone like Gamrot does. And I think Turner stays on the feet and picks him apart, man. I kind of think Turner's going to get Hooker out of here. I think this is a great stylistic matchup for Turner. And it's a chance for Turner to kind of get back on the winning track after, you know, losing that fight to Gamrot. But this is a huge fight for Hooker, man, too. And I don't want to act like Hooker's out of this. I think Hooker could do a lot of things in this fight, like attacking the legs that would kind of slow some of that down. Maybe, like, present some hesitancy. I think we see Hooker attack the body a little bit more religiously. That could start to pay dividends if the fight goes into later rounds. But all in all, I think that Turner's just a little bit too sharp, and I think he sits inside those spaces and he's just constantly beating Hooker on things. Whereas Hooker's coming out a little bit wider with the strikes, I think Turner just brings it all right down the middle through everything that Hooker's throwing personally. So I like Turner in this fight, but Hooker, I think, has to really vary his attacks, mix in the threat of the level change, even if it's not successful, work the body, work the legs, and he might be able to get into a rhythm where he's able to hold that distance and keep Turner at a place where he can, you know, effectively strike and Turner has trouble finding him. Hooker's very good at that. You know, you have to be careful with Hooker because I tend to judge him sometimes based on some of these performances against guys like Islam, you know what I mean? But like, or even fucking who, like Michael Chandler, you know? But really, if you look at him beat up like Nasrat Haqparast, man, he's a very well-rounded martial artist, and you got to be careful about him in every department. He obviously comes from a great gym. So, yeah, man, Hooker definitely has a shot in this one, but I like Turner, man. I think Turner's going to get it done. I think he's going to knock Hooker out tonight. Next, Rikus Duplessis versus Robert Whittaker. This is an interesting fight. And again, a lot of favorites on this card, and understandably so. You know, if you look at Whittaker in terms of just everything, like, again, on paper, he holds, I think the number one thing that makes Whittaker so dangerous is that, A, I mean, granted, he has a lot of striking ability, right? He has a lot of skill there, but it's his ability to hold range. He is always dotting guys up, hitting them where they can't hit him, and then getting out of the way, right? And just far enough out of the way that he can still land his strikes. He is an expert in range management. He hides that head kick really well. He kind of throws it in a really kind of similar style to TJ Dillashaw, the way he hides it behind the strikes. Really sneaky striking, will work teeps to the body. He's got good wrestling. But Dricus Duplessis is one of those guys who's just fucking dangerous. And there is something to be said about the fact, guys, that he just keeps winning. I know everyone keeps talking about, oh, he's ugly. Like, some of the stuff's ugly. He's overextending here, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. But, man, at the end of the day, the only fucking thing that matters is that you win. Now, that being said, I do think there are a lot of those things that we've seen Dricus make mistakes before. Whittaker's going to capitalize on those. You know what I mean? Like, you can't start overextending against Whittaker because, like I said, I think the number one thing and the number one reason I'm leaning towards Whittaker in this fight is because Whittaker is always in position and Dricus has a tendency to put himself out of position, both in the grappling exchanges and in the striking exchanges. But if he disrespects the space that Whittaker's trying to establish and just says, fuck it, and he's willing to walk through a little bit of fire and get caught with some of those jabs that Whittaker throws, he might be able to start landing some of those hooks and get into the pocket and find success. He has to bully his way through the precision of Robert Whittaker in this fight to win, I feel. He's never going to sit on the outside and pick Whittaker apart. Despite all of his kickboxing experience that Duplessis has, all that shit, I think Whittaker's just more sharp, more refined, and has gone against higher level guys in the UFC. For Dricus, he has to kind of, I think, turn this ugly, disrespect the space, and get to a point where he can start. Don't forget, too, Dricus will mix in the... He's very well-rounded. He can wrestle a little bit. He'll mix in the leg kicks and shit, kind of like we were talking about Hooker needs to do. He will mix those things in. I just don't think he does... I don't think the timing is quite right. And I think that little mistakes in this one, Whittaker's going to be able to take advantage of. But I do think the Duplessis presents a real threat. Excuse me, guys. I think he presents a real threat. I can't get this fucking shit out of my throat. I think he presents a real threat to Whitaker, and Whitaker's got to be very careful, right? I think he does have to kind of mind his P's and Q's. And Du Plessis is a guy who, if he rocks you and he smells blood, especially in a fight like this, he's going to swarm. So I think early on, in particular, if you let Whitaker start getting comfortable and establish that range, you're going to be in for a long night. So I think off the bat, Du Plessis has to make things kind of chaotic and make that range confusing for Whitaker early and not let him establish it by like the end of the first round where you're fighting an uphill battle. You got to kind of come out, be willing to put it on him, stand in the pocket, take some shots before Whitaker really gets settled in to where he wants to be. I think it's a very tough fight once he gets there. All right, flyweight title, Brandon Moreno versus Alexandre Pantoja. I'm going to do that a lot. I'm just going to say Pantoja to keep it easy. I've got certain names where, like, in my head, I say it right, and then I try to say it out loud, and it gets all fucked up, and his is one of them, especially when I'm reading it. I want to say Alexandre. I think it's Alexandre is how they pronounce it, right, the first name. But anyway, Pantoja versus Moreno. So when I look at this fight, if I'm going to pick one underdog on the entire fucking card to bet on, a lot of people might pick Yair, but I'm picking Pantoja, man. I think Brandon Moreno has come a very, very long way in his career, right? And obviously, this is a five-round fight, and I think that as the rounds start to go on, he knows what rounds four and five feels like. He knows what that championship, like, what it feels like to get into those late rounds. But Pantoja's beat him twice. And I'm telling you what, guys, like, I think I'm picking Pantoja in this fight. When you go back and you watch their first fight, it's like there are things that Moreno was doing wrong, right? Like he was coming in a little bit recklessly and getting tagged on things on the way in. His hands were kind of like loose. He overextended on a lot of his shots, was out of position in his footwork. I think he's cleaned a lot of that up. But something that makes me nervous, guys, is that Pantoja has a power advantage. And Pantoja is not afraid to stand on the feet, right? He won over Manel Kopp in a fight that primarily took place there. He, like I said, he dotted Moreno up in their first fight. Like, beat him up, guys. Rocked him a few times. I think he has a distinct power and speed advantage, even though I think Moreno has come a long way in refining his like boxing skill on the feet and stuff like that, right? But Pantoja, I still think, is quicker, and I still think he has pop through his punches. When that kind of shit starts hitting you, when you're getting hit in the mouth, it's going to change your game plan. And on top of all of this, he's a legitimate submission threat. The way he ran through Perez, man, Perez can box, Perez can wrestle, and look at what Pantoja just did to him, man. I mean, Pantoja, to me, is at the, like, he's in the prime of his fucking career right now. He looks incredible. Everything is coming together. He's comfortable on the feet. He has power in his hands. He has speed. He's got really good jiu-jitsu. He had Moreno's back in the first fight, choked him in their exhibition house, in the exhibition bout, I think, in the Tough House. Man, I think he's the dog to bet on tonight. And I think Moreno is very skilled. And if I'm being honest about how I think the fight plays out, right? Ah, fuck, no. I think Pantoja wins. I think Pantoja is just going to start dotting him up, and Moreno's going to be the one who has to come from behind in the late rounds and make up for it. That being said, though, I think Moreno will start to establish more of a rhythm as the rounds do go later, like towards the third, and the attack from Pantoja will start to slow down if he's not able to get Moreno out of there. Another thing to consider, if it does go to the ground and Pantoja gets on top or in an offensive position from, you know, in these grappling exchanges, Moreno has very good submission defense, right? He stays very fundamentally sound when he's on the ground and guys are attacking, and he's been in there with Davis and Figueiredo, but man, Pantoja's had a fight of the night against Figueiredo. Granted, he lost. This is a good fucking fight. This fight is a fucking, I don't know what, I literally, I don't, this is one of the, especially with small guys, I really don't know what to think of who's going to win. Something in my gut is just telling me, man, the way Pantoja's looked lately, the way he dotted Moreno up, I just don't know if Moreno can make all of the refinements he wants to his striking. Like I said, he can really tighten up his boxing, and instead of like being so wide with his guard when he's striking, he's going to tighten all that up. And I do think his boxing is going to look a lot better. But Pantoja's a guy who is, like I said, he's fast. And he is not going to be afraid to pull the trigger, especially against a guy he's found success against before. He throws leg kicks. He'll get head kicks. I mean, Pantoja is well-rounded, guys. I just think the odds makers have this one a little wrong. I think even if Moreno wins, it's not going to be a fucking easy fight for him. I think this is a really tough fight for Moreno to win, and we might have a new flyweight championship tonight, or new flyweight champion tonight. We'll see. I love Brandon Moreno, too. Picking against him hurts, right? But, man, I'm watching Pantoja, and it just looks like he's ready to make that leap into like the championship realms. So we'll see. All right, finally, our main event, featherweight championship between Alexander Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez. A lot of people feel that Yair is a solid person to put your underdog money on tonight, and I have to agree. I think that the one thing that makes this interesting more than anything is the unpredictability. And I think when you look at Alexander Volkanovski, what he does in particular really well is game plans. And I think the element that Yair brings, like I said, is like that, you don't, that unknowingness. You don't know what he's going to do, the unpredictability factor. And that can be hard to game plan for. And I think things like that could take Volkanovski by surprise, right? I was cage side in Denver when he knocked out the zombie. Not cage side, but I was on the floor, as close as I've ever been to cage side. When he knocked out the zombie with 1 second left, and man, it came out of nowhere. His kicks are lightning fast. He's got wicked power on them too. They're not just fast. They hurt. Like when he hits people, you can tell they sting. But with the game planning thing, I think we've seen too many examples of Yair getting put on the ground for me to be able to pick him in this fight. I think Volkanovski, if you look in terms of like featherweight goats, right? Like if you were to list the greatest, man, people are not going to be fucking happy with me on this, because especially Jose Aldo just got entered into the Hall of Fame. But I think the greatest featherweights of all time are number one, Volkanovski, number two, Holloway, and number three, Conor. I think that when you look at what Conor, he beat Jose, he beat Max. I think if you look at what Conor was doing when he was blitzing up through 145, it's fucking unprecedented. He looked like a world beater. But Max has done more for the division. And I think Conor's better than Jose at 145, just being honest. Anyway, that'll get me a lot of hate, I'm sure. I'm sure you guys will not agree with that. Jose was an excellent fighter. And if you consider all of his WEC days, all that, one of the most prestigious featherweights of all time. In terms of legacy, I don't, and all of his fight, like he's a legend, right? Aldo's a legend. But in terms of skill, I think he's four, to be honest with you. Nothing to do with this fight at all, right? Other than the fact that it's the featherweight division. But Volkanovski, I think when he fought Islam, there's a very good chance that during that fight, you were witnessing the highest level of martial arts ever put on stage for the UFC. Those might have been the two highest level guys ever fighting in a cage together. And that's what I mean. I just think Volkanovski has too many answers. And Yair gets put on the ground too often, and I think Volkanovski's going to be able to put it there. And when he gets there, he's going to be able to hit him with ground and pound and stay safe from a lot of the submission threats that Yair throws up. I just think that Volkanovski is always very aware. Like I said, he comes with a game plan. And I think his game plan is going to be to put this motherfucker on his back and beat him up the same way Frankie Edgar did to him back in the day. Right now, granted, Yair's come a long way since then, but we saw Emmett put this guy on the ground. Wasn't able to do a whole lot. The problem with Emmett, too, and we saw this in the Ilya fight, he's just a little bit too one-dimensional on the feet. You know, his attacks, I think he doesn't have enough in the toolbox to start picking his way into that range that he needed to get to fight somebody like Yair, fight somebody like Ilya. But against Yair, he was able to get him to the ground a couple times. I'm sure Volkanovski's planning on capitalizing on that. I would not want to stand and strike at range with this motherfucker. He's super explosive. Like I said, his kicks are insane. They're super fast, and he retracts them super quick too, which makes him kind of hard to catch and get the takedown. So I think Volkanovski is probably going to have to play a game where he keeps pressure on Yair. He keeps his foot behind the black line, cuts off the cage, tries to make it small, and then closes off that space to get Yair to the ground. But I think he does it up against the cage. I think shooting out in the open is very risky. Trying to catch the kicks of Yair is very risky. And the best way for Volk to win this fight is to press, 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 take away the space, the power, the effectiveness, and then smush him up against the cage and drag the fight to the ground. I think he'll find success there, and it kind of negates that height advantage and that reach advantage that Yair has. And for Yair, polar opposite, right? I think he wants to stay in the center of the cage. He wants to stay at distance. He's got to constantly be circling That's the other thing. I think that Volkanovski pays more attention to his footwork. It's more purposeful. Yair's a little bit more loose in there. Not that he doesn't have good footwork. It's more like natural and flowy. I think Alexander Volkanovski's is more intentional. And there's a little bit more purpose behind his footwork and a little bit more like he has a goal. Right, and I think that starts to pay dividends for him in terms of backing Yair up and then getting to the takedown, etc. I just think it's going to be very hard for Yair to hold the center of the cage and keep that distance that he needs to beat Volkanovski. Stinging him and hurting him at range and at the end of his punches is going to be the key. If he can do that early, it'll start to create hesitation in Volkanovski to close off that distance, right? But all in all, I think Volkanovski has a little bit too much in the toolbox for Yair, and he's just going to rely on that wrestling in the ground and pound to get out of here, or to get Yair out of there. So, yeah, man, I like Volkanovski, but Yair definitely if you want to throw money on Yair, man, I don't blame you at all. I think that he has a good chance to win tonight, but I think the person with the best chance to win personally is Pantoja. Yeah, let's recap this real quick. I'll just run through these real fast. I'm taking Nickel over Woodburn, right? I just think that it's going to be too much too soon for Woodburn. He hasn't seen that UFC caliber. Like, not that Bo Nickel's seen a ton of it yet, but he at least has that fight. And, man, Woodburn has some good jiu-jitsu, but I don't think it'll be enough to hold off Bo Nickel. Jalen Turner over Dan Hooker. I think Turner just sits inside that space of Hooker and kind of dots him up. I like Whitaker over Duplessis, but you got to be careful that Duplessis doesn't start getting reckless early. I think he has to kind of disrespect Whitaker early, get in the face of him, get in the pocket, and establish his range early on if he wants to win. But I like Whitaker to start taking the fight over and settle into that range that he's so comfortable at and just kind of dot Duplessis up over the course of the fight. Also, I think Whitaker's a better wrestler. Brennan Moreno versus Alexandre Pantoja. Man, I like Pantoja. I like that he was able to like kind of dot Moreno up in the first fight. I think he has more. That's another thing. Moreno's not going to get a whole lot more powerful, but that power from Pantoja, it's always going to be there. So if he hits Moreno, I think it's going to ultimately kind of boil down for the ability to Pantoja to hurt Moreno, and Moreno won't be able to hurt Pantoja. We'll see, but that's kind of how I see it going. I got a new flyweight champion tonight in Pantoja. And I think Alexander Volkanovski retains the title against Yair Rodriguez, but like I said, got to watch out for that unpredictability factor. I think that's going to wrap this one up, guys. We got through a little bit of news. I obviously need to do this shit way more often. It's probably been like a fucking month or more since I've put one of these out. But anyway, I appreciate you guys listening. I'm about to head off, go to jiu-jitsu, get some fucking exercising, get my ass beat before the fights start. And yeah, that's all for me. So thank you as always, guys, for tuning in, listening to me ramble. Much appreciated. Have a good day and enjoy the fights. Bye-bye.